Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Transparency in Christ, where we talk about marriage and how to do things according to the Word of God. My name is Talisha Miller and I'm so excited to be joining you this week. We have a hot topic this week and I'm excited to get to talk about it, and also maybe along the way I'll get to share my testimony about my 23 years in marriage. Well, how about we pray? Because I always want to pray and make sure the Lord is in control of this broadcast that we're doing, everything that we want him to do and say what we want him to say. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to, Lord, share what you would have to say concerning marriage. Father, I pray that you encourage those that may be listening in tonight live, or those, Lord, that you may have listen in later on to the recording. So, Father, I thank you for blessing each and every married couple that may be listening to it, Father. Maybe it's not the whole couple that's listening to it. Father, bless that wife as part of that relationship, oh God. Bless that husband that may be listening in as part of that relationship, God. And I pray, Father, that you be at the center of their relationship, Father. For, Lord, you said a threefold cord is not easily broken. Father, I pray for those. Encourage those tonight that may need just a little bit of encouragement, Father. Help them to know and not to give up in their marriages, Father. Help them to know that they can look to you for all wisdom, everything that they need, Father. Father, I pray for, Father, for those that may need a mentor tonight, Father. I pray that the men and women of God will stand up in their rightful places, share their testimonies about what may be happening, what may have happened in their marriages, and how they've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the power of their testimony. So I thank you for them coming alongside those young couples, those couples that may be struggling right now tonight, oh God. I pray, Father, that you would encourage them, that you would lift up those men and women of God so that they can encourage those that are struggling in their marriages, so that we can have happy and whole homes, Father, so that we can glorify your name. So I thank you for that tonight. Father, I thank you for my guests, Lord. Father, I pray Lord, have her to share whatever it is that you would have her to share, Father, to encourage those, to build them up, to give them skill, Father, to be successful in their marriage. So, Father, I thank you. You take control. You let your Holy Spirit reign and rule, Father. This is your broadcast. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to do it, and I ask all these things in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, if you join us again, thank you so much for joining us tonight on Transparency in Christ. I'm your guest, Talisha Miller. Our hot topic for tonight, we're going to talk about tips for avoiding emotional and physical affairs. We have seen it so often in the media, marriages breaking apart, Father. This is just so sad. Recently, my daughter just came home and she said, Mom, don't you feel bad for Lala Anthony? You know, we see her and Carmelo Anthony, their family breaking apart in the media, which is the absolute worst thing that could possibly happen. And we see it before our eyes, and my heart just breaks for her. My heart breaks for that husband. My heart breaks for their son as they are struggling in their marriage. So we see it. How do we avoid it? How do we avoid the opportunity? Because there's going to be men, there's going to be women that come across our path. Maybe we just connect in some certain way. And maybe there's something happening in the home at that time where that connection is just a strong bond. How do we avoid, number one, that emotional affair in people? That may be a new terminology, new for some people. And how do we avoid it transitioning into a physical affair where we have cheated on our spouse? So we're going to talk about that tonight, and I'm so excited that I have my special guest for tonight, Ms. Nikita Thigpen, joining us. Welcome, Nikita.
Thank you, Felicia. How are you? I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, I'm so excited to have you back on, my sister. I thank you so much for coming on tonight to share with this hot topic. You know, it's funny, Nikita, as I was looking at on Facebook, you know how we share our things on social mm-hmm. media. Not a lot of people shared it. Maybe it could have been, maybe they were just embarrassed about the topic. Maybe they didn't want to share it because, you know, maybe they're struggling right now in their marriages. Mm-hmm. But for whatever the reason, you know, the Lord would have us do this topic tonight. So I know somebody's marriage, if not marriages, are going to be saved by us talking about this topic for tonight. So I'm excited. Nikita,
me
before
too.
We jump in, mm-hmm. how about you go ahead, share a little bit about you, share a little bit about your business, what you've done professionally and socially, because you have lots to share.
That's a nice way to say you do a lot, girl. You do a lot.
Yeah. Yes.
I receive that in Jesus' name. I would like to, right, in Jesus' name, I want to tether, because I do a lot, and I've had a 20-plus year career, so there's a lot to be said, and you and I both don't have enough time to share with everyone what's going on in all the realms of the Thigpen land. But I
Absolutely.
Will say, as relevant to your topic, my background is I'm a licensed clinical social worker, as you know and some of your guests know from when you had honored me with gracing me the opportunity to come on before. My background really stems from an expertise in trauma-informed care, cognitive behavioral therapies, all those things around human behavior and relationship management. And as I noticed that a lot of the things that were coming up in people's daily of life struggles, the things that their trauma was kind of impeding in their ability to have healthy relationships, not just in yeah. their marriages, but with their relationship with themselves, with their relationship with their children, siblings, parents, you know, upside down and, you know, all the way around, starting with them, I realized that sex was a big issue. So I got certified in sex therapy as well. And although I do not, in this day, in 2017, and as a part of my business, I do not put anyone on my couch. Those days are behind me from a private practice perspective. I do use all of my clinical tools, all of my knowledge, and my experience being a woman who's also been married for legally, we're going on 18 years, but we've been dating since we were 17. So using all of
nice.
That in my right? some days now, some days. But using all of that in my business, I run Think Pro Balance and Relationship Management Institute, which effectively is a global growth and development company. We do a lot of customized coaching for entrepreneurs and high-level VPs and execs and their leadership teams to really help them deal with those things that they wouldn't necessarily deal with a quote-unquote traditional executive coach or a traditional business strategist, because they do appreciate the fact that I have that clinical expertise and I can really dig down into Pandora's box without leaving them high and dry in those secret, you know, uncomfortable spaces. So I do use all my clinical tools, and I stay up to date with all that. So I have a lot on my plate as an empowerment and motivational speaker, as a CEO and president of a company, as a mama, as a wife, as a sister, auntie, godmom, the whole nine. And it is a balance, which is why I focus on it, because it's hard. I'm an expert in it because I literally stay awake at night trying to think of better ways to do me and to help the people around me. But it's no perfect balance to any of it, including your relationship inside your marriage, so you can stay out of that trap of emotional and physical affairs, because one will lead to the other.
Amen. Well, how about we jump in with that being said? And I think you heard me in the beginning of when we were talking about Lala Anthony and Carmelo Anthony. That's what's right now hot topic in the social media, with people actually, you know, digging in on their marriages and, you know, trying to decipher, trying to figure out what's happening, which is the absolute worst thing in the world, to be going through a struggle and everyone knows about it. You know, at some point, you know, even God, and when we're struggling with our little things, he allows us, you know, a little bit of time to get ourselves together. But now it's out, it's in the open, and you don't have time to heal. So we're at the end result. We're at the, as you would say, we're at the trauma part of that relationship. How did we get to the point where, number one, I've built some type of emotional connection with somebody else, and it transitions now into some type of physical affair. So how do we, number one, let's deal with the emotional component. How do we avoid getting deep in that emotional connection with another person? Because I can say it really does happen a lot with work relationships, because you're with that person all day long, all day long.
No, absolutely. You made a couple of layered points that I want to tease apart, if you'll bear with me. The first part of your question is, you know, how did it happen in the first place, let alone how to avoid it, right? Like when you find yourself already in the midst of it, sometimes the avoiding part is a little too late, and it's really hard to get out of it. So just backtracking for a quick second is, for the people who found themselves in the midst of an emotional affair, you have to be honest with yourself of how you got there. You know, everything starts with this innocence. And for those, you know, let me back up two more steps. For those who are unfamiliar with what an emotional affair is, it's pretty much a bond between two people that mimics a relationship that you would have with your significant other, whether you're actually engaged, married, or, you know, in a monogamous relationship. It mimics it in the way of all the intimate feelings. You're craving them, you're thinking about them, you're longing for them, you're rearranging your schedule. You remember how it was when you were dating your husband? You're trying to change your whole life to make sure y'all could meet up for an hour.
That's right.
Whatever the case may be, you do that as well in emotional affairs, and you don't realize it's an affair because there has not been any physical consummation of a thing. We haven't had sex, we haven't kissed, we haven't embraced in any kind of way that we would think someone else would see as inappropriate. But the reality is everything else that comes before that, minus the physical consummation, has happened. And before you've known it, this little innocent conversation, the person you just look forward to having a cup of tea with to, you know, just talk about whatever the trappings of the day was at work, all of a sudden becomes the focus of your day. You start to only look forward to those 10-minute water cooler moments, those lunch hours. Now you're arranging time after hours. Now you're texting each other. Now you're on the phone with each other. Now you're meeting in the parking lot to walk in the building together. You know, all those things really do add up. And I'm talking about the work husband and the work wife. I didn't even get into, you know, the people when you're in school or your neighbor You know, a lot of parents who just had babies, they're meeting other parents at the park. We didn't even touch those. But
right.
It does happen very organically and quickly. And a lot of people dismiss it because their justification is, oh, it was so innocent. I don't understand. You know, my husband or my wife is just being jealous of me because I just have a friend that they're not friends with. Well, the reality is if you're married, you shouldn't have no friends that your spouse isn't
exactly
friends with that are of the opposite sex. And that is a major issue for a lot of new age relationships because everything
mm-hmm.
is blurred lines. You know, Robin Thicke song, Blurred Lines, everything is a blurred line. And you
exactly.
quickly, before you knew it, you went from just thinking about them at the water cooler to now you're meeting somebody in the hotel. And that, listen, it can happen that fast.
Mm-hmm. So it's so funny that you mentioned work husband, work wife, because
mm-hmm.
that's the first thing that popped in my head. Because we talk about it all the time. You know, everybody always says that terminology. Oh, that's my work husband. Oh, that's
mm-hmm.
my work wife. Well, only one person should have that title, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And now you're getting into the whole thing. Well, what benefits does that entitle you if you're the work wife and the work husband? Again, do you
right.
get to infringe upon that time? You know, do you have that special bond, you know, outside of work? So now we've become emotionally connected just by work because we have some common interest, whether it's just work, maybe the conversation has transitioned into other areas. I found that, you know, just over, again, my 23 years of marriage, I can
mm-hmm.
mention one instance, you know, where the Holy Spirit just put his finger on some things. It was me and it was a gentleman at work. You know, it was a group of us, though. We would all go out to lunch. So
mm-hmm.
I'm fine and dandy. Then parts of the group started breaking off. So it was just me and him going to lunch. And then the conversation kind of sort of transitioned to topics of him and his wife's relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, okay, so now we're talking about the wife. So later on, might have been maybe a week or two later, not having lunch every day, you know, maybe like every other day, the Holy Spirit was like, you need to stop going to lunch. And I was just like, okay, I don't understand. You know, did I do something wrong? Like,
mm-hmm.
you need to stop going to lunch. Because, again, like you said, it happens so organically. You're just like, okay,
mm-hmm.
first we're just talking about the game. We're talking about the day, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of sort of transitioned into that area. Well, now we're talking about spouses. Now, I didn't talk about my spouse, but he talked about his spouse. So, no. So now we've crossed the line where we're talking about other
mm-hmm.
spouses. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
it reminds me of the Word of God where we go into Proverbs 4:23, and it talks about guarding your heart above all else
yes.
for it determines the course of your life. And, you
yes.
know, your wife, that is your focal relationship that you have with your husband, or if there's a wife out, a husband out there listening in, that's your number one relationship. And
mm-hmm.
if I now have crossed the line and now I'm sharing things about my relationship, well, the Word of God also tells us it's the small foxes that ruin the vine. So now I'm kind of sort of, I've let a gap in. You know, first it was just me and you,
mm-hmm.
airtight. Whatever happens at home stays at home. We'll deal with at home. I love you, boo. I love you. And then now I'm opening a gap, you know. Now
yes.
I've allowed some information to seep out, okay? And if there's an opening for things to go out, then there's an opening
right.
for things to come in,
that's right.
you know? So now I've let a little space in my heart for somebody else. So, you know, I completely agree everything that you're saying. So we talked about what an emotional fear is. You talked about how it happens organically. What do you think about tips? Now, tips on how do we guard that conversation? Is it just a matter of us guarding our conversation, guarding our time, protecting our time? What does that look like, me, you know, guarding my marriage
mm-hmm.
so that it doesn't transition someplace else?
Oh, absolutely. And that's a great question, because you do have to recognize that some people just don't have those boundaries. They're not trying to manipulate you. They're not trying to pull you into any secret, you know, relationship. They're just trying to look for a point of relatability, you know, in the conversation.
Exactly.
You know, everybody's coming from a different angle. And I'm hopeful that that situation that you were so honest and transparent about did not involve someone who was purposefully trying to be manipulative, but yet just, you know, transitioning to, you know, well, we both married, so, you know, what did you think about that? Yeah, my wife complains about this too, you know, that kind of thing, which makes sense. There's nothing absolutely wrong with that conversation unless you're starting to reveal things that you know would embarrass or upset your spouse if they were sitting at the table with you. Now, if you wouldn't normally talk about how your husband or wife, you know, is in the bedroom, and not that people go to that level, but, you know, sometimes they make comments that are alluding to how they may be something. Yeah, my husband is always so tired. We barely get any time for anything, let alone date night. Well, you just also planted a seed in this young man's mind that if you're not getting time for date night, you're probably not getting time for anything else. So, you've got to be mindful, right? For what you're planting seeds for, unbeknownst to you, because ignorance is not bliss, especially when you have someone who's looking for, you know, a warmer, safer place to be, because maybe they're not happy in their relationship, whether it's just for the moment, because we all go through those times, or something, you know, more unfortunately forward, you know, it's going to happen for a longer time, and they're really suffering in their marriage, and you're like their saving grace, and they're like, oh, Talisha is amazing, incredible, I can talk to her so much more than I can talk to my skirt. Wait a minute, pause, we shouldn't be talking to me more than you can talk to your wife.
Exactly.
So when they make comments to you like that, you can honestly put up a stop sign. I have waving my hand around like you can see me. You know, I'm animated. But, you know, you can put up a stop sign to them to say, well, you know, I appreciate, John, that you feel comfortable sharing with me all of this. And I really think, you know, circle them back around. I really think that you should go back to Lisa with this. Tell her how you're really feeling. Because I'm not truly comfortable with us going to this level of conversation. But I honestly don't think that I'm the best person who can help you. Just turn them around. Be nice about it. You don't have to, you know, follow the rabbit hole, so to speak, down into what could be, again, a very innocent conversation, because when people see the God in you, they see the light in you, they're advocating, they're holding on, they're saying, help me, but you may not be the best person to help them in that realm, especially if it puts you and your marriage at risk. So just be mindful that it's not coming necessarily with maliciousness, but you do have to be mindful to protect, you know, Wu-Tang Clan's protect your neck. You got to protect your neck and protect your marriage in these instances. I would think the other thing is to recognize what you're looking for. You know, he's not, and I'm just using husband and wife because we just happen to be women, and obviously it can go reverse if you are the man listening to this. But if you're in a relationship where you're, you know, everybody goes through their down moments, you're having some struggle times, be mindful of what you're getting out of that conversation at the water cooler, and you're hanging on too much. It's not just him asking about the questions and bringing up stuff. You're getting something out of that. You're getting someone that you can talk to. Heck, you're getting someone you can listen to. That may be different. If you have a husband like mine, my husband is creative and an introvert. Point blank, he is weird. And we are a family of weird people in here. So there could be silence all day long. And I embrace it. Like I tell my kids, embrace your weirdness because that's what makes you great. You know, God said we are a peculiar people. So we definitely align ourselves with that. But if you have someone like my husband is very, very quiet and I'm very verbal, clearly. So sometimes I'm like, well, just say what's on your mind, you know, like, and if I'm getting someone else who's willing to share all his emotions, well, that could be attractive to me because my husband is very quiet. He writes out his feelings when he wants to share something. He wrote me his engagement letter. I mean, he's like a completely different breed. And if I'm speaking that subconsciously or consciously, I could find myself in a conversation with someone where I'm like, oh, wow, you know, here's this expressive man just talking about life and his day and his dreams, and even if he is talking about his wife and his kids, he's talking, and that is very opposite of what I have at home. So you do have to be honest with yourself of not just what are they getting out of it, what are they trying to pull you in, But what are you possibly filling up your cup with that you're not getting because you haven't communicated to your spouse, listen, that doesn't work for me. I know that you're normally quiet, but I find myself wanting to sit at the table with John, Jim, and Jane all the time because they're talking. You might want to go back home and share what's missing, whether it gets fixed immediately
exactly.
or not. Communication, as cliche as it sounds, truly is key to a healthy relationship.
I agree. And I am a weirdo. I'm a weirdo as well. I write down everything, you know, because we said communication is key. I write down everything, and I pray about it as I'm writing it down. So then after that, I'll read it, I'll review it, especially if it's something, maybe a point of contention, not necessarily a point of contention, but something I really need to talk to my husband about. I want to make
mm-hmm.
sure when I approach him that I'm communicating with intention, with the love of Christ. I want to make sure that that's laced in when I'm trying to communicate with him, if it's something really, you know, really serious. So I'll write
yeah.
it down, I'll read it, I'll review it, then I'll go ahead and make sure it really has the intention that I'm trying to communicate. Instead of me saying, you know, you did this and you did that and I can't
mm-hmm.
believe that and blah, blah, blah. You know how we do sometimes. You know?
Yes.
We tend to, again, really, when you're trying to say you did this, and you, let's say if you stayed out late, I can't believe he stayed out late, and, you know, it just made me feel bad. Yep, I want to let you know that wasn't pleased about you staying up late, but really, what is it that I'm trying to communicate? I'm trying to communicate, baby, I wanted you here. I wanted you next
mm-hmm.
to me. You know, wanted you next
mm-hmm.
to me. That's really what you're trying to say. You know, so I try and make sure I review it. And then I always look for the proper time to have that conversation with my husband because I think sometimes we don't get the response that we could get if we had the right Jesus timing. Okay.
Yeah,
if
no,
we get the right,
absolutely.
If we had the right Jesus timing, if we really prayed about it before we approach him, you know, with those deep things, those things that may be weighing heavy on our heart, then I think we might get a different response rather than approaching them when, you know, they're stressed out after their day at work.
Yeah.
They usually are. Okay, and then I'm trying to say, hey, listen, let's talk. No, girl, I'm not trying to hear it. Okay. Not trying to hear it right now. No. Okay.
Oh, I hear you. But I'm laughing at you. My husband calls it a temperature check when he needs to do a heat
yes.
check to see how I'm feeling, if it's a good time to talk or vice versa. We do temperature checks with the kids, too. You know, our kids, like your kids, are older. They're not super little people anymore.
Right.
They're teenagers and young adults. So we do a little bit of a heat check when we're needing to talk about something that's a little bit more weighted or heavy conversation. And it is important
right.
to do that. Hey, babe, how are you feeling right now? You know, if you're getting grunts, or, you know, getting that, then maybe this
right.
isn't the best time to say, you know, I really want to sit down and talk about how we should change our life or
exactly.
change our marriage. But to piggyback on that, Talisha, you made such a good point about the timing and just the conversation, period. We have to look at the perspective of our own spouses, right? Look at the relationship
yes.
that you may be in an emotional affair, not a physical affair, but the emotional affair with another person and just picking on the work, wife, work, husband situation. And you have your
mm-hmm.
spouse at home looking at you sideways because if they know you, they see all the differences. They see that you got up
that's
15
right.
minutes earlier. They see that all of a sudden you buy in new fresh underwear or different perfumes. They see that you're all of a sudden going from the short stud earrings to the dangly earrings. Listen, they
it's
can't touch you because you're bringing up some things for them that probably are nostalgic of how you were back when you were just as invested
exactly.
in your original first relationship with them as well, your primary relationship. I want to say I was probably, I don't know, maybe in Drexel University. So I'm going back to the 90s a little bit. But I was younger because, again, my husband and I have been dating since we were young, got married at 22, the whole nine. And I remember when he told me, he was like, you got one more time to say this man's name. And I didn't understand because in my mind,
right.
I'm just sharing with him all the great things that were happening. It was someone I was in classes with. I had multiple classes with. It was he on campus. We would walk back and forth from campus. My husband is, you know, at the door waiting for me after his job, you know, all that kind of good stuff. We was bad. We were bad people. we was that young couple, y'all. I don't want to necessarily mimic. But thank God. But God. That's all I'll say.
That's right.
You know, and in my innocence, I'm giving him all the conversation. I'm going back. My husband's name is Dean. And I'm sharing with him, oh, me and Brian talked about this. Me and Brian talked about it. Brian, you know. And I didn't understand that from his point of view, you didn't say this man's name so much that he's a part of our relationship now. And it's not a jealousy thing. It's a recognition that you don't see what's happening. You got this man on your mind. If you taking our little bit of time that we got between classes and work and baby, you taking our little bit of time to talk about Brian, there's a problem. And I didn't understand what that was in my immaturity, but there was some realness to that. Brian was top of mind, and it was innocent conversations and thoughts. I mean, we're talking about sneakers and, you know, classes and whatever, but it was starting to be where I was thinking about Brian when I was supposed to just be telling Dean, my husband, what, you know, what was happening in my day. Everything was Brian, and I didn't understand that I had to, you know, really look at it from his point of view. So sometimes we have to back up and think about that. Would you share this man or this woman's name constantly to yourself? You know, how would they feel if you constantly kept saying, Lisa, listen, Lisa, listen, Linda, you know, like, how would, you know, I had to think about that video, right?
Exactly.
But how do you feel about it? And that is another kind of accountability, if you will, to check yourself with, if it was reversed, would you want to hear the other person's name as often as you think about that other person if it was coming from the mouth of your spouse?
Wow, that's a good point. That is a good point. And it's valid, and I can say, you know, I haven't really, you know, I've shared my testimony when I first started the shows, but, you know, we've been married for 23 years, but after about two years of us being married, you know, my husband had an affair, so we broke up. I went my way, he went his way, and, you know, that's a whole nother show, because I did a show about what happens when you're separated, when you're saved and you're separated from your spouse, because you become open game for the enemy. You become open game for the enemy, and it's, even if you're standing and trying to be trying to be saved and believe in God for it to restore your marriage, the enemy will try and slide right in there. It's almost like there's a smell on you. There's a smell on you. And you have an open target on your back. And why is that? Because the Word of God tells us, be like a threefold cord with Christ in the center. So now there's a gap in there and he can come in. But let me circle it back around. We were separated. And I can tell you, you know, from that perspective of, you know, just sharing your name, sharing people's name, I started to recognize that. I started to recognize, okay, well, like you said, all of those things that you shared tonight, all of those things. And I was just like, something's not right. But like you said, I was young, immature, and you have to believe the best of everyone. You really do. And that's just really my heart intrinsically. I like to believe the best of everyone until you're proven guilty, okay? Still proven guilty. That's just me. So I didn't know any better. And we were married really young at 19, so didn't know any better. But, you know, but God, like I said, but God, we wind up getting back together. And, you know, still some struggles as we went through our marriage later on. But, you know, God has been gracious. But, again, in retrospect, I can agree with everything that you're saying tonight, and that's definitely a trigger. So can you say that again? Will you share this man or woman's name all the time with your spouse as many times as you think about them?
Yeah,
is that what you said?
Just kind of you said it perfectly. It's just kind of see it in reverse, like see it in the mirror. If you were staring in the mirror, if Talisha is staring in the mirror and looking at herself coming through the mouth of her husband, and for him to say somebody else's name back to you as much as you're thinking of that other person's name, and you may be as bold as I was, constantly saying Brian's name out my mouth in my ignorant innocence, right? But
right.
Imagine a reverse name. So if the person's name is, I'll just stick with Linda since we were playing off of that little cute video from that 3-year-old,
right.
4-year-old, whatever he was. But if it's your husband constantly thinking about Linda, and he's standing in the mirror, he turns around from you and it's coming out, you constantly saying Luke back to him. How does that feel? Or vice versa. Just
right.
Like put yourself in that person's shoes, basically, and see it reverse. Just change the name so you can relate to it a little bit. Because when it's us, we seem to dismiss it by justifying it as, oh, they just don't understand. We're just cool. We're just friends. It's not that deep. I'm not thinking about him or her that way. Yeah, and you probably weren't thinking about the husband that you had that way in the very beginning. You know, you might have just
right.
you might have just missed him. You might have said, well, I don't know
exactly.
if I want to date this fool. You know, like,
right.
you might have been in a different space with him until you got to know him. And there was these points of
exactly.
relatability. And then you started to really warm up to him. And now you're talking about things that you wouldn't share in front of a small group of people. Now you only share it between the two of you. Oh, yes, we struck a chord. We have a lot more in common in how we feel about a subject, a person, or a thing. And all of a sudden, those private thoughts start to become tighter and tighter and intimate, and so
mm-hmm.
that intimacy in thought becomes an intimacy in touch.
Absolutely. And that's where that intimacy starts. Like you said, it really starts with conversation. It's a shame, though, but that's
mm-hmm.
really the root. That's really the root. It really is the root. How we communicate. How we communicate. Nikita, let's take a break. Quick break, and I want to play a song just to encourage those that may be listening in. And when we come back, if you want to share some more tips, we can do that, or maybe share some of the things that you've seen over the course of the years, you know, with your counseling, with how it transitions and things we can
mm-hmm.
avoid as it starts to transition to possible physical infidelity. Sound like a plan?
Okay. Absolutely.
All right. Wonderful. All right, let's play a little music just to encourage those that may be listening in. How about we play James Fortune? Not James Fortune. Let's play Call on Jesus by Bruce Parham. Enjoy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can't believe the love I see deep in your eyes. From this day on, I promise to stay by your side.
I am so amazed to be the one that you adore. How could anyone never ask for any more?
And I know heaven has blessed me with you. You are my miracle, so precious and true. And I know heaven is missing an angel or two, because God's greatest gift to me is you.
Heaven has blessed me with you.
Welcome back to Transparency in Christ, where we talk about marriage and how to do things according to the Word of God. My name is Talisha Miller, and again, thanks so much for joining us this week as we talk about tips for avoiding emotional and physical affairs. I have my special guest for tonight, Ms. Nikita Sikkim, joining us. And before we jump back into our conversation, just had a few church announcements for you. Again, wanted to remind you about Pastor Darlene Blakely and her church hosting the Beyond Blessed Women's Conference, May 18th through the 20th at the beautiful Eden Resort in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. They are now offering day passes for Friday, May 19th or Saturday, May 20th for $115. And you will be just so excited to join them. They have some powerful speakers, some powerful women of God that are joining them, Pastor Angelique Simmons from Atlanta, Georgia, Prophetess Tara Carissa, as well as Pastor Dr. Wanda Frazier Parker from North Carolina. So check them out. Register at Eventbrite. Look for hashtag Beyond Blessed. And again, check them out, the Beyond Blessed Women Conference, May 18th through 20th at the beautiful Eden Resort in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Look for hashtag Beyond Blessed on Eventbrite. Also wanted to share with you this week about Prophetess Sadira Davis Ministries. She is having a conference as well, Prophetess Sadira, and it is going to be power-packed with Prophetess Sadira. And bear with me just for a moment. Just wanted to pull up her information that she gave me about her conference. And bear with me just for a moment while I share that. The Conference Boot Camp is featured by Sadira Davis Ministries. It is being launched in an effort to fortify believers in their foundations so that they're no longer struggling in any area of their Christian walk, but may truly walk in the victory provided by Christ Jesus. Join us Thursday, May 18th at 1 p.m. through Saturday, May 20th, for 8 intensive training sessions that will activate and elevate your life for success. And so sorry about that. A few technical challenges for tonight, but you want to make sure you join Prophetess Sadira Davis with her, and it's going to be a wonderful time. You want to make sure that you look up Sadira Davis Ministries. Again, that is going to be in May. With Prophetess Sadira Davis. And again, just a few challenges tonight. Thank you so much for bearing with us a few technical challenges. And it's going to be a wonderful time with Prophetess Sadira Davis in her ministry. She's equipping believers to, again, strengthen them in their walk that they have with Christ and, again, push them towards walking in their destiny. Again, three-day event, Thursday, May 18th through Saturday, May 20th, and it's going to be, you want to make sure you register. You can register by texting SPMM to 77977, and the link is going to be sent to you directly. Make sure that you click on the fund drop down and select BBC registration. And again, it is the Sadira Davis Ministries Believers Boot Camp, three-day event, May 18th through May 20th. Again, text SPMM to 77977 and register for that. You don't want to miss it. With that being said, again, I want to bring back on the line my special guest, Nikita Sikpin. Welcome back, Nikita.
Thank you, Talisha. I stayed on because that song was on.
Yes, I love that song. It's God's Greatest Gift by Kelly Williams and Chris Willis. If you want to look for Amazon. It's a beautiful song, and I sort of thought it was just a great song to play because it kind of sort of just reminds us about the position that our husbands and wives hold to us, that they're God's gift to us. They're God's gift. So, again, such a timely song, especially since we're talking about protecting that relationship with trying to avoid emotional and physical affairs. And I know we talked about before we went to break, we talked about what an emotional affair is. Then you talked about some things about how it transitions into emotional affair. You mentioned that it's innocent conversation. May start with a cup of tea. Then you start to realize as you're having those innocent conversations, you look forward to it, and that person becomes your focal point today, and it kind of sort of just transitions there someplace else. And you mentioned a way to, like you said, temperature check. The temperature check your relationship is to make sure when you're having these conversations, and again, like we said, it happens organically. If you're having these conversations, you don't want to be involving yourself in conversations that would possibly embarrass your spouse if they were sitting right there next to you when you're having this conversation. So I know you talked about that. You talked about some other things to recognize what to look for. You mentioned being mindful, again, about the conversations that you have. Recognize what you're looking for, and also what are you getting out of that conversation as you're having it with that person, whether it's conversing or maybe you may be listening in. And you talked about communication being key. So if you realize, if you check yourself at that point and realize, you know what, I am holding on to every single word that Johnny says. You know, I love that he's charismatic. I love that, you know, he pays attention to me when we talk. You mentioned then maybe you need to check yourself, and then maybe that's a conversation that you need to have with your spouse and let them know what your needs are. So I think I gave a nice little summary. So we left it off where, which was a mouthful. I'm telling you, Nikita, I'm telling you, I'm over here jotting it down. But I know where we left off at. We were talking about how the transition happens. And how can we avoid, is there any way we can avoid that transition happening from emotional to now physical? And what are some things that we can, again, look for and, again, some temperature check for ourselves?
Absolutely. I think one of the things to remember is there's a reason you're looking for an emotional outlet in the first place, right? You know, people at work, male, female, regardless of generational age, the millennial, Gen X, baby boomers, it doesn't matter. The fact that you're sitting at that table, whether it be at work, in school, I mean, transition it to whatever makes sense for your life, for the listeners that are in. Maybe some of you don't have traditional jobs. Maybe you're celebrities or performers, and you're 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning at the studio. And that's just a part of your life. That's not out of the norm for your job.
Exactly.
That's what it is. And you might be working in a predominantly aggressive field. And I say aggressive in the space that those men and women have to be in your proximity. They have to be up close to you because they're fixing your clothes or fixing your voice or fixing a microphone. I mean, it could really just be a normal part of the rigidity of the job that you have to deal with. So it's not a matter of, you know, well, you let that person too close to you, because we're always thinking about the physical connection has to be the inappropriate when it really starts in your mind. We know how powerful our mind is. So ask yourself, why do you need an emotional outlet before it becomes that slippery slope? Like I had said earlier, you have to be honest with yourself first. What is going on at home to make me even want to extend my energy to allow someone into that space? Even for, you know, let's keep it neutral for a second, even for a new good girlfriend, right? When you attract a new good girlfriend as a woman, and you attract a new good girlfriend, a new BFF to come, my best friend would be so angry. She's probably listening now like, you don't have no other best friend. But when you start to attract yourself to another person because you have a lot in common, maybe, you know, you both in the same industry together, maybe you notice that she likes the same bags as you do, there's a reason that you allow this other person, just a platonic friendship, into you because there was something that you were missing somewhere. Now, it might not be in your real best friend relationship. It may just be something that's missing because at home you can only talk to your husband about the kids and the dog and the bills and, you know, whatever life has been thrown at you. And maybe with your current best friend, she just knows you so well that you don't feel like you can tell her about this new part of you, this transitioning part of you that's actually now into labels when you were never into labels before, or whatever the case was. And I'm talking about clothing labels and fashion. Maybe that was never a part of your context. So you're finding yourself attracted to, in a platonic sense, attracted to this other quote unquote girlfriend who's now like fulfilling that need in the friendship department. There was something missing that you felt like you weren't getting, and it goes back to that void. What is happening that you didn't communicate with your best friend or your husband? You know, I have this new interest in pocketbooks, this new interest in labels and designer clothes that I never had before, and I noticed it's about myself. And I want to go to fashion shows and all that kind of stuff, and now I've run into Tanya, and Tanya's interested in that. And when you get to okay for your husband, I don't care, go to the fashion show with Tanya. Your best friend is probably going to be the jealous one in this relationship and want to turn it around like, well, I'll go. Tanya don't have to go. Or let me meet Tanya first. Let me make sure Tanya's okay. That happens in our work-husband, work-wife relationships too. If we're honest with our spouse about what new need this new person is fulfilling for us. You know, I find myself talking to John all the time about all the trouble I'm having handling this supervisor at work, and we're both having issues. Well, I think my husband would like to hear that I'm having issues instead of me assuming, because we make these assumptions, that they have so much on their plate that they don't want to hear from us anymore, and then we found somewhere else to kind of get that need fulfilled. Maybe we never gave him or her, your spouse, an opportunity to fulfill that. And that best friend kind of example where I was just trying to keep it neutral for a second, maybe I never gave my best friend Chantel an opportunity to know that I'm now into label designs. You know, maybe I just assume that she wouldn't be interested in that because we've never talked about that before, or we even made fun of people who were before, you know, whatever the case is. Don't dismiss that your spouse has grown. Just like you have grown, your thoughts, your interests, your desires have changed, have gotten some grown man or grown woman weight on it. Don't dismiss that theirs have too. And if, although it doesn't mean that you're going to be in complete alignment with every single thought and every single desire, it doesn't mean that they're not interested in hearing it. And sometimes we assume that they no longer care about anything that they've never talked about before. And if that is the case, and let's keep it 100% real, if that is the case, you are going to your spouse or your best friend and they're like, listen, I don't even know why you're talking to me about bags or supervisors or anything in between, because I could never care less. That is a whole different conversation, and it is one that you need to address. You need to address it instead of wait. I can't wait to get to work tomorrow morning so I can meet John in the parking lot and tell him what Dean didn't do. Or I can't wait to tell Tanya how my best friend, you know, instead of doing that, how about you talk to Dean? How about you talk to Chantel? How about you have the conversation with them and be honest? Because we don't recognize our own conflict resolution styles and how ineffective we are at handling conflict. But we'll say it's the spouse's fault. Oh, he doesn't, she doesn't. You know, we do that. He didn't understand, she wouldn't understand. They just never want to listen. Well, did you give them an opportunity? Did you come, like you said earlier, maybe in the first half of the show, you know you have to come correctly on paper, because if you say it out your mouth, you might say something that's wrong.
That's
not just at the wrong time, but in the wrong way, right? So maybe you need to change your approach and how you're communicating whatever it is you think he or she just doesn't want to hear. Because maybe you're coming in a way that's not welcomed. If I'm talking to my husband super aggressively, or, and we use this term a lot in our house, if we're being all mealy-mouth, which means you're mumbling and you're barely saying, you know, you're not saying something with confidence, that's a turnoff for us. We're a pretty aggressive household. So I'd rather you say rawly exactly what's on your mind. Don't beat around the cherry tree to get to the, you know, the root of it. Get to it, and by the time you finish walking around it, well, I'm irritated, and I don't want to hear it anymore. And my husband's the same way. So if you know that you're coming in a way that's not welcome, maybe change your approach so you can avoid seeking that emotional outlet that turns into that slippery slope, and you've been slipped into not only an emotional fear, but you've been slipped on somebody's lap, okay? Like, let's be really, really careful.
And it's funny you mentioned changing your approach. I think that comes a lot, Nikita, with knowing your spouse. That comes with knowing your spouse. And, you know, it's so funny. I give this example all the time. My husband studies me. And, you know, it didn't click until one day, you know, where he brought home a case of, and I know it's just a weird thing, but he brought home a case of Arizona grape aid. And I was like, oh, babe, isn't that nice? I was like, oh, thank you so much. He's like, I saw you you know, you would come in with a can of grapeade, and I saw you drinking them, so I thought to myself, let me just buy her a case. Again, that comes with not only spending time with your spouse, getting to know your spouse, and studying your spouse, okay? Are we taking the time to do that as well? Again, remember, you mentioned that as well. All of those things that we were invested in doing and committed to do in the beginning of the relationship when we were getting to know one another, you know? So now we've gotten to this point, like we said, any relationship, at some point, you know, familiarity breeds contempt, okay, at some point. And also familiarity just goes ahead and, you know, causes me to fall down on the job because I get comfortable, I get complacent with, okay, well, you know, I think this is the way he's going to react, or she doesn't care, or, you know, and again, that's how we get to the point of, again, wanting to talk to Brian in the parking lot about our problems instead of our spouse, you know.
Absolutely.
So, I
love your grapeade example, your Arizona grapeade, because although you were talking about it from a really gentle space of just, you know, he knows what I like, he's paying attention to the things I'm picking up at the store, he noticed obviously that there's something that you bring home or you drink, or I know you travel a lot, so maybe he noticed that every time he talked to you, that's always what you say you're drinking when you're on the phone or Skype or FaceTime with him. And that is really important, but you know, that applies in the bedroom as well. Because a lot of people are pursuing their fantasy, and when they're not thinking that they have a safe space to do at home. And we know the marriage bed be undefiled, but so many of us get so, quote-unquote, conservative, and we call it Christian because it's a very different thing. We'll call that conservative Christian and say, oh, well, you know, as a Christian woman or as a Christian man, you know, maybe my husband or my wife don't want to swing from the ceiling. You were swinging from the ceiling before you was married. You need to swing from the ceiling now. Like, there's, I mean, that's a real situation. So now your husband or wife is now pursuing that excitement, that difference, you know, the cartwheels or what, and maybe it's not that deep. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but maybe it's not as much as cartwheels or not. Maybe they just want a little role play. Maybe they just want you to not always say, oh, honey, turn off the light, let's get under the covers. Maybe they love all of your grown man weight, all of your grown woman weight that you've amassed over the years, and they're not nearly as worried about it as you are, but because you're worried and timid, it's a turnoff. So now they're not willing to pursue their fantasies with you. They got to look to Linda, Tanya, Chantel, Brian, Johnny, or whoever else that seems to me seems to be more confident in themselves, and they start projecting what should have been in the marriage room, those visualizations of you being sexy and confident and comfortable with the lights on. That should have been you, but now they see it on that other person because you've shut everything down to, oh, I'm tired. You know, I've gained so much weight. There's no room for lingerie anymore. Well, I don't need to buy the silk this. I don't even need a nice comforter on the bed anymore. It's okay. We got the same comforter and sheet sets we had for 20 years. That is a problem.
Right.
That is a problem. And that's part of why people fall into those gaps. And, you know, Talisha, you know, I'm be 100%. That's part of what it is. We get comfortable. We get comfortable.
And, you know, I am going to have you on for a sex talk because here's the thing. Not single, married, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. We have got to keep it spicy, okay? You got to keep it spicy, number one. And you, again, like you said, comes with knowing your spouse. Baby, what do you like? I like it when you touch me here. Or I don't like it when you touch me. Don't do that. Okay, we have to be willing to communicate. We just have to, because it's not going to work. And again, like you said, you were swinging from the chandelier in the beginning. Why aren't you swinging from the chandelier now? You were wearing the Victoria's Secret before. Why aren't you wearing the Victoria's Secret now? Okay, if that's what, if that, again, if that is what your husband likes. So we have to be willing, again, within the confines of what we're comfortable with, and again, willing to please your husband. And I think that comes with, again, I always say to people, marriage is a lifestyle of service. And I'm not saying hopping on one foot like in Coming to America, whatever you like. Okay, whatever you like. No. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, though, I have to be willing to have that conversation with you. What do you like? What do you want from me? What does this marriage look like for us? Because we can't compare ourselves. I think that happens too, Nikita. Okay, comparison. We talked about work relationships, but not even work relationships. Just people we're involved with on a daily basis, even family members. Sometimes we tend to compare ourselves to other people, and we have to stop doing that. We have to stop doing that. You know, we have to work on building our relationships. We have to invest the time. We have to invest the time. That time that you said when we used to be on the phone all night long, me and I still do it when I'm away. We go to sleep together on the phone. Okay,
That's right.
Time that you invested in the beginning, okay, you still have to invest that time. And I'm not saying I love being married. I'm not saying that it's not a great thing. What I'm saying is, again, it takes work. It takes work. And it takes a willingness, and it takes the C word, commitment. It takes a commitment in order to be able to do the work. It takes you willing to be committed to that process. And at some point, I think everybody, not everybody, but I'm saying at some point when we get to that point where we're emotionally connected to someone else and willing to be physically connected to someone else, you've thrown in the towel. You've given up. You're not willing to try.
I had, you know, I talk in hashtags a lot, just trying to stay hip with my kids. And I heard, I visually saw when you said commitment, not comparison. You know, that's a hashtag.
Right.
Commit, not compare.
Yes.
Or see, not see, however these young people would like to shorten it these days. But that's such a valuable point, because what we're comparing ourselves to is the perception of what we think someone else has. The reality is we all have closed doors for a reason. There are lots of things happening behind the door of marriages, and I'm talking about healthy things. I'm not talking about the unhealthy things. I'm not talking about domestic violence. I'm not talking about any of that that people need to really have not just three courts, but they need God and police to intervene. I'm not talking about those. I'm just talking about the normal things that happen behind closed doors that we wouldn't nor should we share when we're at a family dinner or at a friend's, you know, bridal shower or reception party. But we think that because we saw that couple in, a compatible suit set and shoes and from head to toe and they holding hands and they kissing each other in public, that that's all that they do, when that may not be the reality. That may be just for that moment. They might have just had the biggest fight in their lives and had a sabbatical for 3 months where they wasn't talking to each other in the same house. You really don't know what's happening behind closed doors. And I think that's what we have to check ourselves with, is what are we comparing ourselves to? Because that 2 hours you sat and saw that couple and compared your marriage to theirs, that was only a two-hour window. You know what I mean? Like, that wasn't the reality of their 24/7 inside their 24 years. It's very different, and we have to be very careful with that.
Yeah, we really do. We really do, especially at circling back to the bedroom. Like you said, you mentioned perception. It's all about perception and how, again, a lot. And Nikita, I can't even say, you know, it's not happening in the church where people are pursuing their fantasies. But I think that's because we aren't having these conversations that we're having tonight on a daily basis or on an ongoing basis at all. People are just like, okay, it's funny, I had somebody on last week, Belinda Anderson. Hi, Belinda, if you're listening. And she mentioned she's single. And, you know, she mentioned, you know, the mothers of the church were telling her, girl, listen, you got Jesus, that's all you need. And she's like, well, hey, I still got these urges. Okay. She's like, wait a minute, I still got these urges. How do I deal with it? And we aren't having these conversations about how to deal with these urges. You know, how do I deal with these urges? Even, you know, married people. Like we said, I mentioned last week that men in general, they are initially attracted to the physical. Okay, mm-hmm. What was the bell bit in the bone? They like a big butt and a smile. Okay,
yep.
Okay, and they're attracted to the physical initially. So of course, if I come home and I see my boo in their little sweatshirts every day, with mm-hmm. you know, with their little holes in their pants and their hair up, you know, at some point I'm gonna be like, okay, well, you know what, Jenny looking awfully good today. Hey, Jenny, how
yes.
you doing?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How you doing, Jenny? You doing okay? All right now. Good to
mm-hmm.
see you, Jenny. And it
mm-hmm.
starts there again. What are you missing at home? So
absolutely.
we've got to use wisdom. We've got to again. I think it kind of sort of Nikita points back to the beginning of the relationship. All the things we used to do in the beginning, we still need to be doing now.
Absolutely.
Married
except
1 year,
for
two,
the posturing.
Or 23.
Absolutely,
except for the posturing.
Yeah, because we're all on stage when we first meet someone, right? We're showing them the best parts
exactly.
of our best selves at all times. And then
exactly.
as we get a little bit comfortable, we bring them behind the curtain, hopefully. You know, hopefully you
right.
do. But you should. I 100% agree with you, Talisha. It has to be just as exciting and spicy and romantic and fun-filled, maybe not as expensive because, you know, maybe we were going to the the five-star restaurants in the beginning because
Hello.
We didn't have those other mortgage responsibilities and college tuition and
or
everything
kids.
Else.
Exactly.
Listen, Linda. Listen. or any of that in between. Absolutely. But now you can do a midnight picnic. That was one of my favorite memories, you know, because we were young and poor because we were young, you know, young couple and both in college and all that stuff. We did midnight picnics all the time, and we took our little $20 blanket that wasn't filled with no real kind of down. I don't even think it was no alternative down in that thing, and my husband would throw it on the floor with the strawberries from the local, it wasn't Save-A-Lot back in the day, but whatever the little supermarket was at the corner, it was like the corner store strawberries.
That's right.
I didn't drink wine at the time. I was too young. Look, I was old enough to have a baby, too young to drink. So we had
right.
Just water and, you know, whatever, and we laid and we talked about everything and nothing and made love until it was time to get up and breastfeed the baby. I mean, that was just the reality of what our life was, and that should not end because our kids are older or because our jobs got harder and our days got longer. You just have to be strategically flexible with what and how you do things now to still create that same feeling. Talk about emotional intimacy. Your husband and your wife still need that 30 years later. They still want
yes.
that. They want to be emotionally tied to you, and that's an investment that you're going to have to make, which means you got to sacrifice something. I'm sorry you had a long day. He had a long day, too. What you going to do about it? You going to let Jenny be
exactly.
the one that rectifies his long day? Or you going to come home,
exactly.
take a shower, and instead of sweatpants, just put on leggings? Put on tights. That's
exactly.
it. You don't got to do nothing miraculous. Just how about just put on a T-shirt? I mean, let's be, you
exactly.
know, real. Your husband, 20 years later, he happy if he see you in a white beater that don't have holes in it. Like, he's really happy.
Exactly.
So, Do something a little bit different.
Exactly. And it's funny, you know, I always give that example. I know people are like, why is she talking about sweatpants again? It was me. That was me.
Me too.
Like, because
mm-hmm.
at some point, I was working from home every day,
mm-hmm.
and my husband, I'm telling you, he hated it. So I would get up, I would take a shower, okay, but I had this one sweatsuit that I liked, okay?
mm-hmm.
one sweatsuit. And every time I put that sweatsuit on, you could just see him looking like, I can't believe
mm-hmm.
she got this sweatsuit on again. Like, what kind of nonsense? So then one day he finally was vocal with it. T, I'm going to throw that sweatsuit in the trash. Don't
mm-hmm.
put it.
mm-hmm.
Don't put it on again. Okay, don't put it on again. So I was like, okay, all right, T. I won't wear it again. So, you know, that's just letting me know. I mean, real talk, he was like, listen, don't find your attractive in it. Don't like the sweatsuit.
Mm-hmm.
Put something else on, boo. But he was, you know, he was trying to say it nicely. Like, hey, yeah, done with the sweatsuit. Done with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But,
and thank God he spoke up and said it because he could have kept it in his
yeah.
head looking at you sideways, feeling, you know, inwardly upset, frustrated, turned off, whatever, and just, you know, literally put all those feelings into the Lisa that walks by him at the supermarket every time he goes to,
exactly.
you know, quote, unquote, just go run and get some juice. Like, you know, he could have turned it that way.
Exactly.
So thank God for communication.
Thank God. Thank God. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't a easy road, Nikita, but that's the place where we are now. We feel comfortable communicating with one another, you know? So I can
Absolutely.
Say that. And, you know, I can say that. And it's funny, we had a conversation, you know, we had a disagreement a couple of weeks ago. And I remember my husband came home and the kids were gone. And we literally sat at the table and it was a conversation. We worked it out. It was a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't you did this, you did that. Wasn't any screaming, wasn't any fighting, wasn't
mm-hmm.
anybody storming out the house. It was just a conversation,
mm-hmm.
and when we got done, it was done, and we moved on and enjoyed the rest of our night. But that's a place we've gotten to after 23 years of marriage, you know, so it
yeah.
took time to get there. But again, we made the commitment to make sure that we're focused on having those types of conversations, and again, communicating what we really want to communicate. Listen, baby, I'm not trying to hurt you. Hey,
mm-hmm.
here's what I need for you to know, blah, blah, blah. How can we get to this point? How can we make a resolution? But, again, that comes with, back to the same thing, us being committed to trying to work things out in our marriage and communicating. Because if you want to hashtag commitment and communication.
Absolutely. I love that. Commitment and communication. And I would just like to add to that, because that, you said that so well.
Absolutely.
When you talked about being in this space 20-some years later of being able to sit down and not have, you know, some of those things we don't need to keep from the beginning. We were screaming, yelling, you know, when we were trying to work something
exactly.
out. And now the maturity has set in. The reality has set in that it don't take all of that, you know. It doesn't take
exactly.
all of that energy, the negative energy to be poured into that to resolve something. But you do want to sit down and have that conversation. And it helps if you are spiritually aligned. It helps for you
yes.
to be on one accord. It really, truly helps for you to pray together, to pray for each other, not just, Lord, get them before I do, because that
yes.
is my prayer. Get them. Get Father. Get him before, like, that used to be my prayer. And then when I thought I was growing,
me
God,
too.
I used to say, God, help me, keep me, you know, then it turned that way. And it was like, listen, Nikita, that neither one of them prayers is working. I need you to really think about how you want to do this differently. And part of it was, God, thank you for the growth that I had. Thank you for keeping my mouth
yes.
quiet and giving me the word
exactly.
of wisdom that will come, because they ain't come yet, because, you know, I knew what was about to come out of my mouth. So thank you for the words of wisdom that will come. Let me thank you in advance, Father. Let me praise you in advance for giving me the right words to speak to his heart and not speak
yes.
to the anger that I, you know, want to recidivate back to him what I might have felt he was giving me or whatever the case was, especially
exactly.
if I feel rejected or belittled. You know, sometimes our men talk to us like they think we their children instead of their wives. You know, what I
mm-hmm,
said is
mm-hmm.
my South Philly self is who you talking to. You know, like that, all of that wanted to come out, but that wasn't the best way to handle it. And although he
exactly.
knows the fire and he was attracted to the fire can be just as bright in a different way as long as
exactly.
it's aligned and, you know, literally controlled by God. So being spiritually aligned, to answer your earlier question about another tip and, you know, another technique, is get in alignment. You know, make sure that God truly is in the middle. Y'all may not necessarily, my husband doesn't go to church with me every Sunday. I would be a liar to say that he does. In fact, he refuses to go because that's not the way he wants to praise. Now, do I have a problem with that? Absolutely. Is that going to be the contentious conversation we have every Sunday when he's praying with me before I walk out the door? Absolutely not. Because his
not,
most
that's
important
right.
relationship is with God, not with my expectation of the ritual
right.
that he keeps. But he praying to God, he praying with me, he praying for me, I can't ask for anything else. And, you know, I want
right.
a little bit more, but at the end of the day, I need to be okay with it and pick my battles, which is another
Amen.
Thing we don't do. We look for the grass to be greener on the other side. Well, if my husband did this, if my wife did that, but what is he doing? What is she doing? What good thing is already in your life instead of you skipping past the good and looking at the negative because someone else seems to have it all because their husband and wife comes with them every Sunday. All right, he also might not be going home with her either. He might come with her, but is he leaving with her?
Right.
Is she on his mind? You know, like sometimes we do that. To go back to your comparison point earlier, you don't really know what's happening. You're only going through perception. I wouldn't trade my marriage for anything. He is my soulmate. I'm in it to win it. And through all of his crazy and all of my cuckoo, we make it work. And that's what's most important in your marriage. And you have to ask yourself, not you, Talisha, but for the listeners, do you want it? Is he or she enough for you to want to be committed? Because if you don't want to and you're just doing it for the needs of your children, for the needs of paying the bills, for the needs of the optics of what it looked like, you're in the wrong thing, and you're making that person suffer through something that's unnecessary for them. So you
that's
really
right.
need to look at, do you want it?
And is it? And it's the truth. It's the truth. But, you know, we can go all day about,
I know.
Premarital counseling and things we should know before we even say I do, okay?
Listen.
It's tons of conversations to be had before you make that commitment. And, again, Nikita, I was married young as well. I got married at 19. So those conversations weren't had. So we kind of sort of learned and bumped. That's a bumps and bruises along the way. But if, again, we can save somebody along the way, okay, from again, not having to experience some of the things that we've experienced along the way, then so be it. So,
absolutely.
And that's the reason why, you know,
have you ever been disappointed by people who call themselves your friends, say they have your back,
yes, through thick and thin.
Oh, yeah.
I know just how you feel when you're so.
You didn't know what you were gonna do. Maybe you were ready to throw in the towel, but you watched God come through. Oh yeah. All you gotta do is call on Jesus, yeah.
All right. That was Bruce Farhan, Call on Jesus. And again, thanks for listening in on Transparency in Christ with my special guest, Nikita Thigpen, as we talk about avoiding emotional and physical affairs. And of course, tonight, Nikita, just as we get in, of course, technical challenges. So welcome back.
Thank you. I'm used to it.
God is going to get the glory. Okay. Marriages are going to be transformed because
Absolutely.
Of the show. Because
Listen.
Of the show. So
mm-hmm.
I'm excited. Now, guess what? I can't believe we've been yapping so long. We have like 7 minutes. 7 minutes, but I can't believe it. Listen, I want you to use this time to communicate whatever it is, whatever else you want to share tonight about tips for avoiding emotional and physical affairs.
Yeah, no, thank you, Talisha. I really appreciate the time. There's so much, right, because it depends on the context and what's happening, when it happened, if you're already in it, if you're just trying to avoid it happening again. And I want to highlight that for a second because a lot of us have
mm-hmm.
addictive behaviors. And some of it is partially genetic. There's a lot of science that says addiction is genetic. It doesn't matter what the addiction is. Your mother or your father may have been addicted to a substance. You have a higher propensity to be addicted to something else yourself, which could be, you know, having infidelity relationships. Like you could be addicted to constantly looking for a new challenge, a new person, a new something. You could be addicted to having issues with food. You could be addicted to shopping. Like you could have any kind of addiction. So if you know that one of your addictions is finding a new plaything, you need to stay away from your triggers. And one of those triggers being putting yourself in situations where you have alone time. And that doesn't go for everyone. Not everyone has an addictive behavior. Not everyone is not able to trust themselves around someone who might fit the profile for what they're attracted to. But if you know that that's a problem for you, don't put yourself in that situation saying, oh, well, I've been with my spouse for X amount of years and we have a strong relationship. I'm not looking for anything, so it's okay for me to have these private lunches or dinners or finding yourself getting a running partner and them being someone who fits the profile for what you would normally find yourself attracted to, whether it was the 30-year-old you or the 50-year-old you that's attracted to it.
Right.
I would really honestly say be mindful of your triggers. If you're having some kind of unresolved conflict, because it happens, we are human. We are not always going to be in agreement with every person that we are aligned with. He could be strongly spiritually aligned, but maybe I'm mad that he keep pushing the toothpaste from the middle and I have to trip over his sneakers every 22 seconds. You know, whatever it is, no matter how silly or how deep, because it may be a much deeper level, could be financial irresponsibility, could be all kinds of other things. But if you have an unresolved conflict, watch yourself. If you know that there's something crazy, shaky going on at home, watch yourself. As you're at work, in school, outside, going for a run, taking the kids carpooling, sitting on the sidelines, being the soccer mom or soccer dad, whatever it is, be mindful because you are an open attack waiting to happen. You are a ripped bunny,
mm-hmm.
and the blood is dripping from you, and the prey is seeking. So be mindful
mm-hmm.
when you're in an unhappy space, not that you're thinking about divorce, not that you're thinking about separation or cheating or any of those things, but you literally have a wound. And the right predator is smelling that. You said it earlier, Talisha.
Yes.
Like they smell you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they can feel it. Well, they can. Newsflash, the enemy is always lurking. For anybody who is not picking up their Bible and reading it, it is right there, clear as day. Be mindful because he is pacing to see who he
yes.
can kill, steal, and destroy. He will steal your happiness, your marriage, your joy, your thoughts of what you thought you were going to have, a 20-year, 30-year, 50-year marriage. He will take it and destroy it if that's what it takes to keep you from walking in your purpose. So as preachy
yes.
as this sounds, I just want to be really clear with people, especially if you find yourself, you know, aligning with someone more often when you're not feeling your husband or wife at home. Be really careful that they could be being used just as well as you are. The enemy is trying to
yes.
use you to cut down your future and your children's future. They're also using that other poor soul that other poor set that they wanted somebody to talk to is also being used, because little did he or she know, they're being just as manipulated, because we know charming is deceitful, and the enemy is not coming as some, you know, monstrous two horns, you know, red, ugly, deformed thing. It's coming as a sweet voice, a listening ear, a soft, you know, chest or hard shoulder to lean on. It's coming in the form of the thing that you feel like you need the most. So I want everyone to be reminded of what you want. Do you want your marriage? Do you want a good, healthy, whole life? Do you want God to be in the midst? Then allow those things to be your focus and what you put in the work and effort to commit to by opening yourself to communication with the right person, not the wrong one.
All good points. All good points, Nagina. So you talked about unresolved conflict. Be mindful of yourself and watch yourself. And you talked about charming and just being, well, the enemy comes charming and can be deceitful. And can be deceitful. I love the fact, I say it all the time, all the time. You know, the enemy is just waiting, watching and waiting. Okay, Jesus told us to watch and pray. The enemy is watching and waiting. Watching and waiting to pounce. Okay, watching and waiting to pounce. Just that any move we can make, any type of division that's in our marriage, he's just waiting just to get a foot in there, you know. That's why the Word of God tells us, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You know, it's funny. You know, I try and wait, especially if we have an argument. We try and resolve it, and it's been a while since we had an argument. Like I said, we can usually resolve something, but if it's real something really deep, I used to wait overnight. Let it settle, because, again, you don't want to say anything that can't be taken back. Because, again, once you say it, it's out there. It's in short-term memory, and if it's really bad, it's going to be stored in long-term memory.
That's right.
You store it in that long-term memory, and you can't take it back no matter what you say, you know. So I try and be mindful, but 24 hours at the most, 24 hours at the most, if you have one of those spouses that, you know, you have to let the dust settle before you try and come to a resolution, at the most, don't let it drag on days and days at an end. Again, it's a foothold allowing the enemy to get in. And, again, you're leaving your spouse open. You're leaving your spouse open for an attack. And that's real talk. You really are. You know, so don't do it. Try and come to a resolution. Again, love sees the best in everyone. So we should be trying to walk 1 Corinthians 13 out with our spouses. Okay, love is patient, love is kind, love is long-suffering. We're not perfect, okay, in any way or fashion. Not perfect in any way or fashion. But my sister, I know your time is valuable. I thank you so much for joining us tonight. And, you know, I think we need a part two. So you need to check your schedule.
You know, anything for you, Kalisha, you know that.
Oh, that's why I love you. But you know, we need to, like, honestly, I wanted to dig in because this is such a, I'm not saying a hot topic. It's running rampant through people's homes. I'm sure everybody knows somebody that's been affected, that, you know, has been touched, whether it's not even your marriage. You may know somebody whose marriages have been touched and affected by emotional fear, physical fear, or even in the media. Like I said, Lala Anthony and Carmelo Anthony, people love that relationship, looked up to them, you know, and now you see it falling apart before your eyes. So in some way, we've all been touched by this topic. So my sister, check your schedule and send your email too. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. I heard that.
Yes, we need to dig in again because, again, I want marriages saved. I want people to stay committed. Don't feed into those perceptions. Again, communicate with your spouse. And my sister, where can they reach you at, Nikita, if they need some professional coaching, if they need an accountability partner? Maybe there's somebody with a business out there and they want you to come in and mentor their leaders. Where can they reach you?
Absolutely. I think the best place is twofold. If they're website people, just go right over to the website, which is figpro.com, T-H-I-G-P-R-O.com. But I am at Balance Boldly on everything. So any social media platform, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest that you can think of, I'm at Balance Boldly on. And I do reply. It's really me answering. So if you send me a message or at me something specific, preferably to say that you heard about me from Transparency in Christ, so we can give Talisha Riley her due, you know, shout out and thank you for any connection that comes out of it. Just make sure you do that. Even hashtag commitment and communication, and I'll know exactly what
Amen.
You heard of it. That would be awesome.
Amen. Amen. And Nikita, you also do a podcast. When do you do your podcast?
I do. So it's literally called, you know, I got a thing for balance, right? So it's called the Balance
right.
Boldly Podcast, and it's a campaign to shake the shame that's literally stunning our growth in every dimension of our life and just stop posturing. That's really the whole concept behind it. It's on iTunes, Google Play. If you have a podcast catcher on your phone and you can access podcasts of any kind, just look for Balance Boldly and you'll get us. We release every Wednesday. This is a new version. We used to do a different one called Balance Beam, but Balance Boldly is a lot more raw and it's a lot more inspirational in terms of the guest experts that we have, like yourself to come, are being honest about their walk through and toward success, not just how they got there and how everything looks all gravy and beautiful now, but the process they had to go through so they could literally share how to be vulnerable and use that as a way to be successful. So at Balance Boldly Podcast, anywhere that you can listen to podcasts, you can get us there.
Amen. My sister, I thank you again for coming on.
Thank you.
Again, join us next week on Transparency in Christ. We'll be back on 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, check us out on Transparency in Christ on Facebook. And also check me out on Twitter for any further marriage tips at Talisha R, T-A-L-L-I-S-H-R, on Twitter and also on Instagram. Again, I thank you so much for joining us. Join us again next week, 6:30 p.m. on Transparency in Christ. God bless you. I want to leave you with some encouraging music tonight. I want to leave you with Hold On by James Fortune and Fire. God bless you.
Some days it seems like it'd be easier to just let go.
I know you're praying for a change, to see a sunny day. Nothing good has come your way.
Yeah.
speaking from experience. I was there. About over. But here's the good news. Listen.
All of your dreams, all of your desires,
yes, they are,
coming to pass.
Because
you are so good.